All right, ready to read the Word of God? While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So they supposed, you know, they presupposed, they supposed, they were thinking about it, that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. They thought there was going to be a day, and the kingdom of God was going to appear. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 12. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas. Now, one mina was equal to 3 months of pay. So let's say you're making a quarter of a year. So what do you make? About 8 to 10,000 a quarter of a year, probably. Some of you 5, some of you 10, some more, some less, but that's okay. So pretty much he gave them about between 5 to 10,000, okay, to 10 of his slaves. He gave them 10 minas and said to them, the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. Not a business, a businessman. Not a business. There's a difference, okay? So he said, do business with this until I come back. But a citizen hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. That's like us and Jesus. That's like Jewish people and Jesus. They said, we don't want him to reign over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given money be called to him so that he might know what business they have done. Someday we will be called back to God and God will ask us, I've invested myself into you. What business have you done? Some of you have a gift of singing, and God will come to you and ask you, what business have you done? I've invested into you a gift. Some of you have a gift of evangelism, and God will say to you, how many people did you talk to about me? Some of you have a gift of a businessman to open a business and support, build ministries and churches. Help kids all over the world who are struggling. Deliver people from human trafficking and child prostitution. You cannot do all these things without money. So you see, God invested His gift into each one of us. And then He's going to come back and ask you, what did you do with the gift? Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not about us becoming famous, successful, and rich, and all these things. It's about us doing business with the gift that God has given us. All right, what verse am I on? The first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. Ooh. Look at this. He had about 10,000. He brought in 100,000. Ooh, pretty good. So look what Jesus said to him. And he said to him, well done, good slave. In another translation, to servant. Because you have been faithful in very little things, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. Wow. Look at Christianity. Look at Jesus. Look at him. Then second came saying, your mina, master, has made 5 minas. So he brought 50,000. Okay? And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Okay? According to his ability. God is not going to give you more than you can handle. And that's talking about money too. Let me just get off a little bit. Do you remember when Moses was building a tabernacle and God instructed him? God said to him, you should choose people who are craftsmen and those who have the spirit of wisdom on them. And then God says, in the heart of every wise person, I will add wisdom so they can do according to my plan. Interestingly, notice what the Bible says. In the heart of every wise person, I will put wisdom. If you have 0 as a platform and you multiply it by 10, how much do you get? If you multiply it by 1,000, how much do you get? 0. If you multiply it by 1,000,000,
Zero.
You cannot multiply zero. So God says, whatever you have in your hand, I will multiply it. So these people already had an ability. They had a gift from God to be craftsmen. They were artists. They were able to produce statues and angels. And you know how it was in a temple. It was just beautiful. So God says, choose the talented people, and then I'm going to add more onto their talent. So notice, if you have a little bit in your savings account, God will add more. If you are able to put $10 a month away, God is able to multiply that. If you have a little love in your heart, God will give more love in your heart. If you have a little bit of wisdom, God will give more of wisdom to you. Interesting thing is that a lot of us live from paycheck to paycheck. And the reason is because how can God multiply something we don't already have? I've been asking business people and those who've way higher than me. I've been asking them, one of them I asked lately, I said, what do you recommend for a young guy like me? I asked two of them within 2 weeks. First one said, expand, get bigger, buy more, do more. I'm like, okay, great. Then I go to another one. Interesting. I'm preaching on Kingdom of Heaven. Whew. Whoa. I got that. I go to another businessman. I mean, has beautiful cars in his garage. And I asked him, what do I do as a young person? And guess what he said? He said, pay yourself first. That's all he said. I said, how did you become so wealthy? He said, I had to pay myself first. See, if you take that, if you make $100 and you take $10 and you give it to God, and you take $10 and put it in your savings account, you've paid yourself first. See, the money that you give to God, it never leaves you. It just goes from physical currency to the spiritual currency. Never leaves you. Bible says, stored up your treasures in heavenlies. Okay, so what we need to do, because God says there's going to be millionaires and I must raise them up. I will not make them, I will raise them. It's like when you raise your children, what do? You kind of guide them, you protect them, you show them what to do, what not to do, and you show them the way kind of thing. Amen. They can still choose to say no. They can still choose to say, I want to do it my way. But that's what it is. The first thing we as people of God have to do is pay ourselves after we pay God. Because 10%, the tithe, is not ours, right? Belongs to God. Second part, we have to pay ourselves first. Amen. Once you learn to live on 80%, and you will learn to live on 80%, you won't even notice that 10%. And after a year, if you make $30,000 a year, you have pretty much $3,000 in your savings account. And the devil comes and starts saying to you, how are you going to pay your bills? And you're like, I'm not worried. I'm good. Sorry, devil. I'm good to go. Amen. So first thing our church is going to have to learn to do is pay God. We already got that as much as we can. And then now pay ourselves. See, the devil wants us to live in constant chaos. He wants you to feel like, where are you going to get your next? He wants you to go into debt. And a debtor becomes a slave to him who borrowed it. So he wants us to be. And notice the whole system, Babylonian system, is built on debt. God wants us to be free from debt. He wants us to be free from the things that bind us. If I have a whole bunch of debt, how can I help other people? How can I even focus on other people? If I have bills up to my neck, how can I focus on you? How can I help other people? But when I'm free from debt, that's when I say, huh, who can I bless today? What can I do for other people? It's such an awesome feeling to bless. I'm not going to brag right now, okay? But I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to brag. True story. It's awesome to be debt-free and have more, because Bible wants us to be a blessing. That means you have enough to give. A few days ago, our tire on the trailer just blew up. It was a good tire. For some reason, it blew up. I believe it was a plan of God. So I take off the tire and I go in at TMA on 10th. And I replace it. And they give me a tire. A lady comes in and her tires are so bold she cannot drive anymore. And so she comes in and they give her an estimate. And she says, I can only afford two tires. And then they tell her, you cannot put them on front. Factory rules are that you must put the bad tires on front and the new tires in the back. Some of you know that? I know, it's messed up. Usually that's what I've did. I've put new tires on the front. And yeah. And plus front tires turn more and things like that. And she's there. She's like, I don't know. I have to go. Will I be okay? And she's talking about it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, bless her. Okay. And I'm just fighting myself. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? And she starts leaving. And it was a Kairos moment. You know, Kronos, time is, you know, second minutes. Kairos moment, it's like elevator door. They open. If you don't come in, they close. Like a train. If you don't get in it when it opens, that's what it's called, Kairos moment. God will give you those moments of blessing or abilities to bless somebody. And what happened was, she's walking out of the door. She gave him her key and she's about to walk out of the door. And I said, can I buy you two tires? Excuse me, ma'am. Can I buy you two tires? Yes, I did. And the man thought I wanted to buy her tires. The bad ones for myself. The one that she, you know. And guess what? He says, you don't want those tires. Oh, and he knows me. He said, you don't want those tires. And I said, no. I don't want her tires. I want to buy her new tires. So she can put them on the front. Because when you drive in 75 and your front tire goes bad, you can go in a ditch. You can flip the car. Hallelujah. And she was like, what? I said, yeah, can I buy you the tires? The guy goes, Andy, you're an amazing guy. You're an amazing guy. What are you doing? And I said, just let me pay and I'm out of here. So I paid for her two tires. She's weeping. She runs out the building. I mean, she's crying. She says, I can't help. Runs out of the building. Comes back. I don't look at her. You know, when God does something, you got to do it and get out of there. Tell later about it. Amen. And then she came in. She wanted to talk to me. I said, and I felt God says, just leave. Just leave. And so I jumped in my truck. I ran away. I come to the job that I was supposed to be. It's going to take me half day. I come, the guys are almost done. I come to the lady. And I said to her, the job was supposed to be $850. I said, it's $850 plus tax. She said, oh no, it's more than that. It's at least $1,000. Plus, they done a little more for me. I paid $150 something for her tires. Right away, the same day, I got that money back. Now, listen to this. This man calls me and says, you were supposed to be here. How come you're not here? I forgot about a job that I had. And it's 11 o'clock. So we jump in our trucks. We go to this new job. We come in. We do the job. It's pretty easy. He adds another job for us. By the time we were done, we were close to $3,000 that day. It doesn't happen. These things don't happen like this. But I was so glad. And I left and I said, God, well, let's see what you can do with this now. Let's see what you can do with this. Because I was obedient. I was 1 second away from disobedience. And she would have left. And I don't know if I would experience this blessing. It's so much better to give, Bible says, than to receive. But when we give, it never leaves us. We don't give it away. We give into. And see, the devil is a liar. He says, no, you got to be poor. It's got to be just enough for you. Just enough for you to pay your bills. But it's selfish. It's selfish just to live for yourself and your family. Well, I just love my family. And it's all about us and it's all about me. We have enough for a movie and popcorn once in a while. That's all we need right now. No, God has so much purpose for the blessing that He wants to give you. He wants you to become a blessing. He wants you to help poor children. He wants you to help those who are struggling with human trafficking and prostitution. This winter, you guys are invited to go with me in another ministry to Ghana in Africa. I'll be going, and we'll be taking a few people, and we're going to rescue, hopefully we're going to rescue, some girls from human trafficking, from child slavery. If you are interested, we need to start now because we need to raise money. Okay, we need to raise money. It's about $2,500. And we'll help you raise money. That's no problem, you know. But we want to be the blessing. And it takes money. And God will take you all over the world. And devil will keep you here and he'll try to make you homeless. And then he'll tell you, this is true holiness when you're homeless. I don't see many homeless people too holy. Obviously, it's something. Let me talk to you about this. Have you noticed how Satan hates for people of God to prosper? And I'm not talking about money. Because one person asked me, well, rich people are depressed sometimes and most unhappy people. Rich people are not prosperous. They're just rich. Well, wealth is not prosperity. Prosperity means every area. That means you're healthy, you're happy, your family is good, your relationship with God is good, you love people, you prosper in every area of your life. That's what it is. So when you think about money, when I speak about this kingdom of heaven stuff, you're missing it. You're thinking greedy. You got to think every area. Wholeness. Your marriage working. Your relationship working. How many marriages fall apart? 50%+ of marriages fall apart. And listen to this. When marriage falls apart, what happens is it becomes decrease, divide, divorce. God doesn't want you to go through that. Young people, listen to me. You haven't tasted a lot of stuff the older people, we tasted. We don't want you to. Just listen. You know what they say? A wise person learns from somebody else's mistake. A normal person learns from his own mistakes. A foolish person never learns. So let's learn from the Bible. So we don't have to learn it on our own thick skin. Thick head. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. But you notice how media attacks Christians when it comes to prosperity. Why don't they want us to prosper? Well, Christian people shouldn't be rich. They shouldn't have money. They shouldn't have businesses. They should be, you know, poor. They should ride a bicycle to work. And it's cool if you like your bicycle. Why does devil attack? If prosperity is bad, let me see. Devil never attacks homosexuals for some reason. He never attacks drug addicts for some reason. He encourages them. He says, yeah, let's do more drugs. Let's sell more drugs. Let's commit more sin. Let's go beat somebody up more. So devil usually doesn't attack when you do his will. Woo. So when you are prospering as a Christian, notice he never attacks people who are prospering in the world. Well, he does. But notice that he attacks Christians. And the reason he does that is because he doesn't like for Christians. When you're doing something good, devil will attack you. So if you're prospering and he's attacking you, help me out here. You're doing something right. Because he knows if you're prospering, you're going to be able to take focus off your own problems and your own bills and actually help somebody. Alex said that Bill Gates pays, $1 billion. He gives away $29 billion since when? In 7 years, $29 billion. See, the devil doesn't want that. He wants people to die in child slavery. Do you know what they do? I've heard testimonies of what they do to children in different countries of the world. Imagine your daughter or son, 7 years old, being sold to some old pervert. Imagine how their life would be messed up. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't want people like us here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to ever get out of our problems. Because once we do, we might start focusing on going on offensive. God has given me a prayer just lately. And I don't know where it came from. But I started praying, God, I'm sick and tired of being on defensive. I want to go on offensive. Aren't you tired? Because a person who is defending, they never know when the enemy is going to come. They just always on the wait. Oh, what's the devil going to do to me now? Who's going to hurt me now? Who's going to say something bad to me now? See, it's always defending, always uncertainty, always certain fear. I want to go on offensive. I want to go and snatch people out of hell. I want to go snatch children who are struggling. I want to go help people who are struggling in their own stress and depression. I want to snatch them out and I want to show them what Jesus has done for me. What Jesus has done for us. And what He can do for them. And the devil doesn't want that. He wants us to be always feeling sorry for ourselves. Well, we don't have enough for ourselves. Well, we're always broke ourselves. You know, what are we going to do for ourselves? God wants you to be out of there. And that's why He says, I have invested into you minus. And I want you to produce more. You remember the Bible says, your gift will find a room for you. Your gift will produce your provision for you. Michael Phelps has a gift. And it's swimming. It's sportsmanship. They said that by the time he'll be done, he'll make $100 million from endorsements. Just from this thing. Wow, 23-year-old guy. Tiger Woods. You know, he has gift. Maybe we have another Tiger Woods. Maybe we have a politician here. See, God invested into us. God invested His gifts into us, His power into us. And He's going to ask someday, what did you do? And let me read what will happen to the one who didn't do anything. What verse am I on? And the third one came to him saying, Master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in the handkerchief. So what he did, he hid his gift that God gave him, his master gave him, in a piece of clothing. Sometimes we put things on the gift and nobody sees it. We cover it up with clothing. What does clothing represent? Come on, think with me. Help me out here. Shame, okay. What else? It's something that covers. So a lot of us, we have gifts. gifts. Amen. But a lot of people, what they do, they just cover them. Cover them with shame. Cover them with pride. Cover them with self. We just cover it. We never reach into it. Cover them with hurt. Cover them with self-deception. When devil says, you're nobody, and we believe it. And then we say, we're nobody. We'll cover it. That's what this man did. He covered the gift. He had one. Oh, Jesus. And I hid it away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a hard man to deal with. You take up what you did not lay down, and reap what you do not sow. Is it true? No, it's not true about Jesus. He's sown in. He gave him the gift. That was sowing into that person. And this man says, you reap where you didn't sow. So this man was against Jesus receiving with profit. He was given $10,000. And the reason he didn't go and use it, because he didn't want his master to receive with interest. You know how we don't want somebody to prosper sometimes? Have you ever been selfish? Thank you. And you're just mad when other people prosper, when God is doing something? Have you ever withheld because of selfishness? I'm not going to give it to you. I have it, but I won't. Because I don't want you to be blessed. I don't want to help you out. That's flesh. Come on, we all felt it. I felt it. If I help this person, they might become this and this. And I don't want them to be that. Right? That's what he did to God. He said, God, I don't want you to get more glory. I don't want you to get more. You are a hard person to deal with. So I hid my gift. You see what we're doing? If we don't use our gift, a lot of us, hold on a second.
A lot of us, we learn about the gift. We read about the gift. We prepare for the gift, but never do the gift. Let me give you an example. Imagine Michael Phelps, weightlifting, reading about famous swimmers, but never getting into the water himself. Now he would never discover his gift. A lot of us, we Christians, the devil lied to us so much. He said, you got to be a perfect person and then you can use your gift. And so we try to be perfected, but we don't understand that God perfects the gift in the place of the where the gift is supposed to manifest. Thank you. So if Michael Phelps never goes into water, he'll never know what mistakes he makes. He can study, he can know everything about swimming, the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. If he never actually jumps in the water, he'll never know if he can do it. But as he jumps into the water, his coach stands over him and tells him what mistake is he making. And so from there, he just improves. He gets better and better. Guess what God wants us to do? You got to stop thinking that I got to first stop sinning. I got to give up this and this and this before I can serve God. Before I can use my gift for the glory of God. God says, no, no, no. Why don't you start using it? And in the process, I'm going to correct you. Remember in Hebrew, Alex kind of touched up on that. He said, a father who loves his children, he chastises them and corrects them. Amen? So what God will do when you are in your gift, you think I've been perfect as a pastor? You think I'm perfect now to preach to you? No. But in the process, God whips me a little bit. He shakes me up a little bit. And I say, oh Lord, sorry, I made a mistake here. And He corrects you. You got to stop thinking this way, that someday I'll serve God with my gift. Someday God will use me. God says, no, no, no. Why don't you jump in the water? And I want to use you today. I want to use you today. I want you to multiply today. And the blessing is, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Then sin came and curse came. And then Jesus redeemed us from the curse. So the blessing of Abraham can come upon our life. He said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. This is what God said. This is what Jesus said to those people who've been given a lot and never used it. He said, you worthless. Not for real, you're worthless. Slave, did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. So at least you would have done is put it in the bank. What do you think that means, Jesse? Help me out here. I'm not that far yet. You should have at least invested. You don't need to do anything with it. How do you give your gift to somebody else for investment? Let's say I have one gift and it's little. It's finances. Let's say I'm a business person and I can't do anything. I can't preach. I can't evangelize. I can't do anything. I just, you know, businessman. I should have given it to somebody. I should have supported somebody who could have used the money and I could have given it to a preacher. Let's say. Or I could have given it to the orphanage. I could have given my money to the orphanage. And then they would have raised those kids. Because see, you never give away. You never give away your money when you give into the kingdom of God. You invest it. You never give your prayer away. You never give something away. You always invest it. So what you do is I can't go to Africa right now, maybe. I can't go to China or, you know, some parts of Russia. So what I can do is I can invest my financial gift into them. And they will raise those kids. And in front of God, I would multiply my gift. And when I come to Him, I'll say, God, I gave there. And those kids were raised up. And they come to know You. And so, this is my part. Or, even more simple, you don't have to give money even. You can pray.
Let's say you say, I can't preach, I don't have money, but I could pray. So I'll pray for you, Pastor. So when you preach, more people will come to Jesus. That's an investment. You should have given it to somebody else. Remember that. And then I would have come and received my with interest. What do you have? Maybe it's small. The devil wants to tell you, it's all for you. It's all about you. People want to tell you, you shouldn't prosper. You shouldn't increase. You shouldn't produce interest. But God says, I want you to produce. I want you to multiply. I want you to fill the earth with my glory. And when I come, I want to receive mine with interest. Don't we have an awesome God? Religion tells us, no, you shouldn't prosper. World tells us you shouldn't prosper because they're afraid. If Christian people, true men and women of God, true men and women of God start to prosper, oh, they're going to kick the devil's butt. Oh, devil is going to, he's afraid of you. So that's why he wants to keep you in bondage to sin, to addictions, bondage of debt. He wants to break up your family. He wants to take away your health. Sick people focus on themselves so much. Come on. It's all about, and it's, I feel bad because I've been sick and I focus on myself too. I become a baby when I'm sick. Man, we become babies when we're sick. Thank God for our wives. They become our mamas then. What's up, mama? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the process, God will purify you. In the process, God will cleanse you. In the process, God will take away that sin that's still bothering you. Are you ready to make a step? Because Bible says, seek first the kingdom. It's a mindset. We have humanistic mindset. We have socialistic worldview mindset. We have capitalistic worldview or mindset. We have communistic mindset. We have religious mindset. God says, no, 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 I don't want all those mindsets. I want to give you a new mindset, a kingdom mindset. That's God's way of doing things. And Jesus said, pray like this. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever it is in heaven, the mindset of heaven, let it be on earth. Thy kingdom come. And then for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory in our lives, in this world. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to talk to you about Jewish people. Did you know that Jewish people had a kingdom? Jesus said, you have took the keys of the kingdom and you don't enter in. Remember to Pharisees, he said that? And you don't let other people enter. So if you want to know what kingdom looks like, look at Jewish people. What makes them so prosperous? Albert Einstein was a Jew. There's a lot of people that are coming up, and I read in Psychology Today magazine, it said that they have like a seventh sense. They said Jewish people, it's not that their IQ is higher. It's not that they are wiser and smarter. It's the kingdom mindset that comes into their life. And notice Christianity is built on what? Judaism. I'm going to pick it up next Sunday. Next Sunday is the last Sunday before we start America's Top Model. So I'm going to finish it next Sunday. I'm going to talk about Jewish people and how Christianity is built on Jewish people. And what is Jewish people known for? Having a true God and the law. And what else? Prosperity.